This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Make Eternia Great Again. This is episode 91, Jeff.
Ooh.
91.
Right in your ears.
We're closing in on 100.
I know. Goodness.
The century of He-Man.
I never thought 91 would feel so good.
You look good for 91.
You look even better for 91.
I'm falling apart on the inside.
I know. Yeah, I'm pretty much hollow at this point.
This is all tape and glue at this point. But hey, everybody, thank you for joining us on this great episode. We are going to dive straight into our tried and true formula of picking a He-Man character that we haven't talked about yet. And on this episode, he's awful.
He's snippy.
He tastes good with a side of lemon and butter.
That's right. That was really good.
We're talking about Clawful.
Clawful. Let's do it.
So Clawful.
Clawful.
He was one of those figures that immediately you were like, yep.
Yep, get it.
I get it.
Yep.
And I want him.
That's right.
Yeah, he was perfect.
I don't know of anybody who did not like Clawful.
Didn't like him, at least didn't covet him, or didn't have him.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
And he had that great action feature of the clampy claw, the click.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know?
Nope.
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't know either. But the idea was, at least for me, like he was like, I know they said like Jitsu was supposed to be the companion bad guy.
Was it?
Well, that's what the thing.
I thought it was Jitsu and Fisto.
Jitsu and Fisto are supposed to be the companions.
Oh, the companions. That's right. I was thinking rivals. Sorry. But,
oh, yeah. Like rivals.
Yeah.
The yin-yang.
Yeah.
But like for me, for some reason, Clawful felt more like a good matchup against Fisto. Like Jitsu was like almost too easy. Like
of
this
course,
guy's got a metal hand. This guy's got a metal hand.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, because who would outside of Fisto? Yeah, I mean,
who
would be a... I mean, I don't think there's any other...
Yeah. Like,
for Clawful,
like
I mean.
Arm guy.
Because, what was his name? Not Whiplash. Is that his name? Whiplash?
The giant lizard guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Whiplash.
Sorry, my brain is spent.
You're
is
good.
A Friday,
it's
bro.
Friday, everybody.
It's a Friday.
Good time.
So Whiplash and Buzz Off, obviously.
Yeah, they kind of have a counterpart.
Yeah,
they were kind of like.
I don't think there actually was anybody for Clawful.
Yeah, with his giant arm. So
interesting.
So anyway, we're going to get straight into the comic book.
Yes.
With this one, the mini comic, let's be clear.
Let's do
his
it.
First appearance. And the fun part about this is it's a comic that we've already talked about.
Ooh.
So it's an appearance of a lot of people, not just Clawful, but also this is the same comic where Fisto shows up. This is the comic, The Clash of Arms.
Yes.
So Clash of Arms. If you need a refresher, if you want to prep yourself for what we're going to talk about on this comic, listen to the Fisto episode of Make Eternia Great Again.
Which is probably one of the better ones.
Probably one of the best ones. Top 10.
Top 10, definitely.
And
we have a lot of fans that come back and reference the Fisto episode, so it's got to be up there.
I think that and maybe like Buzz Off is a good one too.
Yeah.
Manny Faces. Anyway, so this comic is a treasure trove of characters. So not only does it premiere Fisto, but it also premieres Clawful. And the thing about Clawful that's so great in this comic is that he is initially introduced as the panel breaks down where Fisto is literally doing some like gardening. He is on Stridor, and with his sword, he's basically pruning the hedges.
That's so funny.
And then right in the background, unprovoked, the villains with Triclops saying, "Get him!" And then Clawful leading the pack with Webstor and Jitsu behind him, yelling out, "Let's go get the horse." Don't even give him a name.
That's funny.
Jitsu, just right out of the gate, promptly karate chops Fisto about the neck, face, and chest. Launches him off of Stridor. And so Stridor is like, "I lost my rider. Y'all are going to die." And in the very next page, it shows Stridor's eyes like, "I got an idea. Next panel, murder." He kicks Webstor so hard that he makes a clank sound That's Skull.
Yeah, that is.
He connected with Skull.
That's pure bone.
That's all. That is metal hoof meets bone.
That's funny.
And the house, the brain house of Webstor has been shattered. And so the next panels, after Stridor is done basically trampling everybody, he rides off, leaving Fisto behind. Good job, Stridor.
Yep.
And all the villains are getting back up, except for Webstor.
Who has been seriously murdered.
He's on his back.
How do you throw a metal horse in a jail?
You can't.
So Stridor wins every
exactly.
time. He doesn't mess around. He's not like, oh, if I do this, I might go to jail. I might get in trouble. No, he's just like, guess what? It's either you're alive or you're dead in my eyes.
Exactly. And he's like, your human laws don't apply to me. I'm a metal horse.
I'm going to murder you.
Tink. It's nuts. And so Webstor is lying just prostrate.
That's awesome.
Did I say that right? Yes.
Yes.
Not prostate. That's a whole different
thing. Oh, boy.
Ouch. He is lying flat on his back, and Jitsu's trying to wake up his dead friend.
Are you okay?
No. There is
somebody call his mom.
Start digging a hole, man. The Karate Kid kids in the background, get a body bag. Because he's out. He's gone. So Webstor's dead. And what I said to you was, I like these mini comics because in my mind, each mini comic is its own multiverse.
Yeah.
Because these mini comics very rarely connected storylines, if at all. So in my universe, each mini comic is its own universe.
It is, totally, yeah.
So in this universe,
there's definitely something going on. There's always an energy.
Exactly.
Like you're coming into something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They did a good job on that stuff.
They did, and it all feels very self-contained, the way that they handle these mini comics. And so in this particular mini-verse, Webstor's dead.
That's funny. So, and Fisto likes to do all of his pruning in full Gallia.
Yeah,
I guess.
With a sword, Regalia. No less. Like, dude, don't give me no garden shears.
Like, of course, you're just asking for somebody to come mess with you.
Exactly.
You know, think about it. If you were in a uniform job, right?
Yeah.
Say you're a firefighter.
Sure.
Are you going grocery shopping in your firefighter getup? No.
No,
you're
exactly.
Not, are you out pruning? No. You know? I mean, imagine. I mean, part of you is like, well, look at me. If something goes awry, I can always just jump right in.
Exactly. I mean, if you're a cop.
Right. Yeah. But you're going to get messed with constantly then.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, better yet, say you're a sniper in the military and you're going to go pick dandelions in your yard and you're shooting them.
That's right.
Like, you're scoping
this one's
it
only
in.
4 feet away. I got it.
I got it. You're checking wind temperature.
That reminds me of a story. Can I tell a story real quick?
Tell a story, Jeff.
So speaking of close range weaponry. So my aunt and uncle live up in South Dakota. And anyways, so they live on a farm. And farm life for me was not very, you know, common. I'd only been on a farm a couple times. And so I was a little kid. And so we went up there and we were all asked to help out in the morning with the pigs and stuff like that. And we're
sure.
Like, oh, cool. You know, a cool experience. So we all got up. It's like 4 degrees outside. We're mucking around in this muck of pig stuff and everything.
Ooh.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, the whole end of the day, we're all tired. We were all working really hard and stuff. And so then we're just like, okay, we can finally play. Me and my brother and my cousins. And so we're out in the yard and we're playing. And we see this bunny. And this bunny was chewing out on some of the garden of my aunt.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to capture it and trying to keep it out and stuff. And they hadn't been able to. And so my uncle, I'm not going to say his name, but my uncle, though, is like, hey, I can finally get rid of this rabbit. But he's not like, shoo, shoo, rabbit. He's like, I'm going to get my 12-gauge.
He's subscribing to Stridor's philosophy.
And so he gets this gun, and we're all sitting there like, oh, what is he going to do? And he's literally like 6 feet from this rabbit. And I'm sorry, PETA, and I'm sorry, like, bunny lovers, but he kills bugs like that.
Oh,
just,
no.
You just hear this. And all you see is, like, it looked like something was just, like, cotton all over the lawn.
Oh, no.
And we're just like.
He sent that bunny
just
to the nether realm.
Into a million pieces. And part of me as a boy was like, that was awesome. But the other part was like completely mortified.
Yeah.
It's just like fur
like
everywhere.
You saved the vegetables, but at what cost?
At what cost? He killed this little bunny.
What cost to your soul?
Oh my gosh. It was like,
there'll be 1,000 more to replace it. Don't worry.
Totally. Absolutely.
But yeah, no, that's
just cracked me up, man.
Well,
like,
it's funny you say that because I was going to say, you know, when you're a Fisto, every problem looks like a thing to be punched. Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
It's like, are you pruning the hedges as he's just punching them? That's right. Just
constantly punching them. It'd be better. Where's Jitsu when I need him?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be better if he's
where's Buzz his... off?
That's right.
He doesn't have a buzzsaw. He can't do that. That's right. Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
So Stridor runs off, right? Okay. So Fisto is now on the ground, compromised from Jitsu's barrage of vicious karate chops.
Nice.
So Fisto is captured and then put into some sort of arena where Skeletor's basically like, you get to fight my homeboys for my entertainment. So what's the first guy? Who's the first guy that he sends out to fight Fisto? Clawful.
Clawful, our main man.
Clawful comes running out. Like, he's got something against Fisto, dude. Yeah. What do you do to you? Why are you coming at him so hot?
You know what it is.
What is it?
They're always comparing the size of their
hands. Yes. It's claw versus fist.
Claw versus fist. That's
he's
right.
He's like, I know that fist is bigger than mine. I'm mad.
That's right.
So here's the funny part. Clawful actually puts the first hurtin' on Fisto.
Right.
Did I say that right? Clawful.
Yep.
And so Clawful rips a piece of his beautiful purple tunic.
Oh, my goodness.
Exposing his hairless chest, by the way. You'd figure that Fisto would have just a chest covered in hair.
Yeah, you have to.
But no, it is hairless.
What in the world?
He probably shaves it.
He has to.
Well, you probably can't get that skin tight thing
we
over.
We get it. He's manscaping.
Shows off his muscles.
I mean, if he's landscaping, he's manscaping. You know
that was
it.
An allegory for what he's doing to his chest.
That's right.
He probably uses his fist and sword on that, too.
That's right. He's like...
exactly.
I can't breathe. His chest.
Fisto, what are you doing? I'm punching my chest.
Get back in there.
Stop growing. Sorry.
Oh, man.
So Clawful not only gets the first couple of licks, but he has him on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's like, meet your doom. He's about to kill him.
Nice.
Right? That's not like a, I'm going to knock you out, bro.
Correct. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to do to you what Stridor did to my friend Webstore.
Right. This is for Webstore.
Webstore's an attorney in hell looking up, kissing him. He's just a bad guy. He's not in heaven.
That's right. Yeah.
And so Fisto spies on the ground a piece of broken wood, right? And he's like, I'm going to grab it. So he grabs it in time and basically feeds it to Clawful. I mean, just hits him so hard. You don't even see Clawful's body anymore.
That's right. Just the explosion with arms and legs.
All you see is the title, the name of Fisto's favorite band, Wham.
Wham, of course.
And then Clawful flying backwards. Now the club, after he's hit him, is now snapped in half.
He's still holding on to it like he's all menacing.
Exactly. It's like you just hit me with a bat, and the next scene is I'm like, ow, my head. And
it's just like swinging by a splinter.
And so he's running at him full clip. And then Fisto, more by accident, it looks like, not on purpose, jams that leftover chunk of club into the open claw of Clawful, thus successfully jamming the claw mechanism. And Clawful even explains it to us dumb kids.
Right.
Yeah, I've lost my grip. I can't close my crushing claw. And then right then, Fisto's like, and join Webstore now.
Oh, nice.
Hits him so hard, he like pinwheels backwards.
Oh, my goodness.
Papa.
See, it would have been better if he would have been like, tickle, 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 tickle.
Ooh, boodly, 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 boodly.
Like you're completely weak. You know, you're exactly. Weakly without your claw. And he's like tickling him.
Yeah.
Club was like, stop it, stop it.
Stop it, stop it. I give up. He pees his pants.
Hey,
he made me pee my pants. That would have been hilarious. No, he just punches him so hard. He literally flies back. And here's the funny part. You never see him in the comic book.
So Webstore and Clawful are dead.
Yes.
So Stridor and Fisto are straight up murderers.
Stridor and Fisto both have blood on their hand. Well, on his hooves.
On his hooves and his hand. Metal hand.
And his metal hand. And he did punch him with the metal hand. I know there was one scene in the comic.
Where he was like trying to fight with his regular hand.
He's fighting with like, his tiny.
What do I do with this big hand? What should I do?
I normally squeeze oranges with it, but now what do I do? And spoiler alert, in this same comic, He-Man shows up to save the day. He's had enough of Fisto trying to fend for his own life. And He-Man makes a very bold statement in killing one of Skeletor's henchmen. right in the face. Shoots him
right
in the face.
That's my favorite part about that comic.
It's the best.
It's like, dude, what was it with the good guys on this one? Everybody's just out for blood.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened the day before.
Exactly.
Like, something happened. I bet you it was April Fool's Day or something. And Skeletor is like, you know what? Let's pull some pranks.
Yep.
And then they like do a swirly on somebody or something like that. And then that was it. They're just like, we're done with this. April 2nd, we're killing people.
April 2nd, blood will flow.
We're whacking fools, man. That's
dude,
it.
Dude, so the cover of Clash of Arms, it does do a good job of kind of giving you the idea that Fisto is going to have to do some work here. He's putting in overtime. But truthfully, they should have this whole thing just bathed in blood. They should just have blood dripping.
The kids are like, oh my gosh.
He-Man chomping on a cigar with like the Predator like gun on his head.
It ends with Skeletor like in therapy.
He just kept killing.
I've never seen such a thing.
I mean, seriously, there's three people that die in this book.
That's
crazy. I mean,
crazy.
Arguably, I think Whiplash might die too. Oh, we never realized this. He-Man shoots Whiplash too.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes, he does.
Blam! He even yells out, He-Man, no! Oh, gosh. Whiplash went out begging for his life. Wait, hold on. I got to do some quick research here.
Yeah, we got to see if he's still alive.
He does not show back up in that comic either.
Yeah, so that was not on stun.
They did not. That is not stun. That is definitely vaporized. Look
Kill
at that.
Kill switch engaged.
What were his last words? He-Man, no.
He-Man, no.
I can't recommend Clash of Arms.
Oh my gosh.
Enough.
Dude, that's intense, man.
It is intense. And like, this highlights the stark difference between the comic and the cartoon.
Oh, totally.
In such wonderful clarity, except for one big surprise that I can't wait to share with you, Jeff, and you, the listener. In this particular cartoon, one thing that we said never happened happens.
Oh, no.
So strap in, hold on. For the cartoon, but next
that would be a good segue, but we're not
exactly. But we're moving on to
the toy. The toy.
Toy
no
time.
French.
No, I won't do it.
All right.
I promise.
Do
I
it.
Won't
do it.
Hello. Welcome to Mickey Tony and Clayton again. We talk about Clawful, and I love him. He is not Clawful. He is wonderful.
That's right. He is wonderful.
With butter.
With butter and lemon juice. Lemon juice. That's
it
so funny.
Succulent. Oh, remember le poisson, le poisson. How I love le poisson.
He was chasing after a crab.
That's right, he was.
He was. See, it was
see,
meant
there
to
you go.
Be.
It was. It's all tied together. We're
meant
full,
to be.
Full circle.
Yep.
So, okay. So, Clawful, the toy.
Dude.
So, he was, first off, amazing.
So, to date,
he is probably like the most well put together Motu character ever.
Yeah.
Because you never find a banged up Clawful.
Not really.
So that is either they're really well put together or nobody played with them.
Exactly. I remember as a kid being fascinated by Clawful.
Yes. Yep.
And this was when my parents, like, they were like into this He-Man thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't into it, but I got them into it. And I could tell, like, you know, and this is getting back into the 80s. Up until that point, the notion of like a toy line,
right.
I don't think my parents didn't, and your parents didn't grow up with that as a thing. It was like G.I. Joe was kind of that, but that was kind of in and of itself. So I think for them, they were like, oh yeah, we'll get him the He-Man and the Battle Cat and Skeletor.
And
then
it'll be over.
Yeah. And then it'll
and
be
like,
over.
Wait, what's this? Wave
yeah.
two?
Exactly.
Wait, what's this? Wave three? Come on, stop it.
They pumped the brakes hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
And we as kids, and we talked about this, and this is where Mega Multiverse comes in. We started to kind of open up our little brains to other toy lines, and Transformers was
sure.
there, G.I. Joe.
Yep.
But so for me, Clawful was like there, but never obtainable. My mom was like, nope, we're done buying He-Man figures. We're done. And so I had to play with him via friends and other people. But one thing that just stuck out to me, and even today with vintage toys that you find, that claw is snappy.
It is still snappy. Yeah. I have one at home. It looks like it's brand new.
Yeah.
Like all of his joints and everything. But like you said, the claw is still legit.
Yeah. The crazy part about that as a toy, we can get into this toy versus cartoon. As the toy... with the design and not so much with the name, maybe because other animals have a claw,
right.
but it's kind of driven home that he's a crab.
Yes.
And not like a scorpion.
Sure. Yeah.
Because scorpions have equally sized pincers, right?
Right.
They're not. And then No, and then there's lobsters.
Lobsters. I think he's more like a lobster because lobsters tend to have.
No, it's typically it's a crab. Crabs. Crabs will have that one.
The one big old claw. Yeah.
They're like the guy from Lady in the Water. The guy that did only one curl on one
arm. That's right. That's funny.
But so like he's definitely a crab because crabs are the, you know, have that one big claw. So like, but other than the claw, and you look at him, even as a toy, he doesn't quite look like a crab.
No.
He looks like a weird...
His face is more like a dragon or something like that. Yep. Yeah, because, well, I mean, how do you make a face of a crab? Because it's just big...
Big flat.
Shell. Like, your face is your shell.
Exactly.
You know, so.
So I think their design whole thing was like, well, I guess we gotta... But anyway, and the other fun part about him was his left hand was basically a buzz-off arm. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep.
Buzz-off. Yeah.
Yeah, it was... There's a small claw. Yep.
A little guy.
Yep.
And but
and the same legs too.
Yeah, he was basically like Buzz Off, except for he had a muscle. He had like a He-Man chest.
So he
with the clamshell armor.
Yeah, so exactly. So he had the shell that came on and off, and then he was, you know, very humanly underneath.
And he smelled like garlic butter.
Correct. And so he came out in wave 3.
Oh,
look at us. We know what we're talking about. Look at us. Look at us, guys. We studied.
I was going to guess wave 2.
That's right. It was wave 3. And what was also interesting is that there was actually two waves of Clawful.
What?
So he actually had the spiky legs like Buzz Off. And then he also had just the regular, you know, regular legs as well.
Really?
So there's two versions of Clawful.
Which was the first one?
The first one was the spiky legs.
So that's probably the one people are like all like slobbered over.
Yep.
I got both versions.
Yep, exactly.
What versions of Clawful do you get?
Exactly.
I wonder what the street lingo is for it.
I don't know.
Lumpy legs.
If anybody knows the street lingo, let us know. They're
you
like,
got lumpy
meet
leg?
Us in the back alley.
You got lumpy leg Clawful or?
You got smooth back or?
Smooth back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, some of those terms are so funny.
Oh man. I mean, some of them make sense. They're very like practical, but other ones are like, oh, I didn't realize that was even a thing.
So speaking of which, I mean, maybe his counterpart or his, not counterpart, but his nemesis or whatever would be Buzz Off because he also came with a mace.
That's true. They both had maces.
They had the same legs.
Yeah.
Same mace.
Same left arm.
Same left arm.
I mean, and they're both kind of like bug-like.
Sure, yeah.
In a way. Maybe that was their counterpart.
It could have been.
Then who's Whiplash? See, we're back to that again.
I don't know.
Poor Whiplash.
It's this weird triangle.
We got to figure that out.
Somebody is the third wheel.
It's
always.
It's the triangle
just like
of
high
like,
school.
Is it... Of the villains, it's like Whiplash versus Jitsu and Clawful. And then you got the good guys of Buzz Off,
Fisto.
And Fisto. Like, how do those, who's the odd man out in that setup?
Let's just throw Ninjor in there and call it an even sense.
Oh, Ninjor.
Ninjor.
Ninjor and Jitsu just fight all the time.
That's right.
The toy just blew my mind as a kid, having that great grabby claw. Being able to kind of like use them as a way to kind
right.
of just like pinch and grab and
yeah, and the color things. Scheme was on point.
It really
I loved
was.
It, man. It was so
awesome.
Cool.
And then moving forward, I've not seen this, and it's probably more for the cartoon, but I've only seen designs of Clawful for the 2002 series in animation form. I don't think they made a toy.
I don't think so.
Of him in 2002.
We'd have to check.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the one thing I didn't check. I could check.
Check it.
Check,
but
check this out.
But I will say that the classics version is pretty much on point too.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. The classics version is very much it's a good mixture of the cartoon mm-hmm. and the wave one or the first gen
yeah.
one.
And then there was this line of Filmation. Version characters too that came out.
Yeah.
And there's a Filmation Clawful.
There is, yeah.
That basically has two evenly sized claws.
Yep.
And there's totally like a Filmation reason for that, by the way, which I'm sure most people can guess. Because Filmation was so like big on like reusing stuff.
Correct.
That they had to have them be able to be flipped left or right. And if you had one character, any characters that had a feature that was non-symmetrical,
sure,
then they couldn't do that, so they
correct.
Basically changed the design so they could just basically flop the animation cell for versatility, which I get
I get it,
but it does suck that they ended up just retooling that character in that sense.
Exactly. It looks like Sorry, here, there's going to be a little bit of a pause, but it looks like there was a toy in the 2000 series.
2000 series?
Yep.
Clawful. He has to be kind of rare, because I've seen a lot of the other ones in the wild, even in packages, and they hover around like 20-something bucks.
Yeah, it was...
But Clawful, I have not seen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's... It's a really blurry photo.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he looks like awesome. I mean, if he's anything like the cartoon, he has the one claw bigger than the other.
Yeah, well,
and
he's
hulking.
Exactly. Yeah, because the cartoon, I mean, he was like,
yes.
Dude, he was so menacing. And that was the biggest difference between, and we can get into this a little bit more in the cartoon stuff or whatever, but the biggest difference was that, you know, in the first series, the Gen 1, he was like super smart.
Right.
And then Gen 2, he was just like a monster. He really? Wasn't smart at all. He was really dumb and just like did a bunch of roaring and stuff like that. But
it's funny you point that out, because in the cartoon that we're going to talk about, he was like basically the mastermind.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but the toy though, I mean, he was freaking on point, man.
Dude.
I loved his character and everything. I didn't, same as you, I didn't actually own him, but
your
again,
brother did though?
Nope. We didn't have him in our house, but my cousin did. And, but we played with it quite a bit.
His clamshell armor, I think, was one of the rare armor pieces that wasn't reused for someone else.
Right.
He had that kind of like weird like lines across the front that made it look almost like crab meat.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because like, yeah, you're right.
It looked like striations, almost like ripped, sick, muscular.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that clamshell armor on him being used for anyone else.
No, because I was going to say maybe Fisto, but
That's Fisto has the...
Yeah, Fisto has his own.
Yeah, which in the comic, Clawful put a hole in,
yeah,
exposing his hairless chest.
You call that armor? It's threads, homie. That's funny.
And I mean, I remember as a kid, he's one of those toys that you would almost just stare at.
Yes.
You know, and we say this a lot. I mean, and for the Masters of the Universe toy line, they did an impeccable job of really like grounding, like you know where he belongs.
Sure.
You could have held him up and been like, where does he belong?
Yeah.
He's a He-Man toy.
Exactly.
And that was one of the genius things that they were able to do.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like he belonged in that universe.
Absolutely.
Like, and there's a handful I know that we've gone on the record before and have said, like, I don't believe that guy fits.
Sure.
You know? We're looking at you, drag store.
Right. You know, what was kind of cool about it, and this is a little bit off base of the toy or whatever, but what was kind of cool about it is, like, when you look at the three different versions of Clawful at that time, you have the toy, the cartoon, and the mini comic and stuff.
Yep.
The mini comic and the toy were identical.
Yep.
You know,
much.
He had the kind of like dragon head, the big claw, little claw on the other hand. But then in the cartoon, he was very much, he looked like a dragon.
He was very dragon.
Yeah. He was not, and he didn't have a big claw. He just had two of the same claws.
Two
but again, they have
claws.
To go back and forth, you know, like the same thing with Orko. He was supposed to be like Gorko or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they changed it from a G to an O. Yeah. So they could draw back
they
and forth.
Flip it around.
But
and they did that too. So on some of those Trollins, and this comes up in the episode, in the
Ooh.
Opening episode of the cartoon, you're on Trollin.
Ooh.
Or is it Trolla?
Trolla?
I think
Troll.
Because they're Trollins. Anyway.
Anyways.
So they open up on Orko's home planet or home dimension.
Yeah.
And there's another Orko or Trollin standing there. And it's a tall, thinner one. And he has a T on his tunic.
Nice.
And I'm like, classic, because you can flop a T no matter which way.
Of course.
But the other ones who also have names, they don't have their initial on their tunic because you can't flop their names.
It's Trolla.
Trolla.
Yep.
And I think with the one we're going to talk about, one of them you could have flopped it, but they didn't put it on
sure.
there. And yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, the cartoon, I mean, the toy of Clawful was just a cool dang toy.
Yeah, give him an A+.
Can't, you can't come up with a way to look at that and be like, yeah, I'd do better.
No.
You know, if anything, maybe the head sculpt, you'd maybe try to make it look more like the cartoon.
Maybe.
But beyond that, perfect.
But I think it was the cartoon was trying to, you know, be, let me get my thoughts here. The cartoon came after the toy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it was the cartoon that failed, I guess, in that regard.
Yeah.
That they didn't, you know. I wonder why they made that decision.
They gave him fins.
Yeah.
He had like a fin on top of his head in the cartoon. And he didn't
weird.
He didn't really have fins on as a toy either.
I don't know. Maybe we should get into it.
Huh.
Let's do that. Good segue.
Let's go to the cartoon.
To the cartoon.
Do you have your bowl of Lucky Charms?
I do. Hold on. Let me get my soy milk.
I'm drinking that 2%.
That's right.
I can't drink 2%. It tastes like butter to me now.
Really?
We're a skim house.
Oh, are you?
Skim milk.
So we do whole milk.
Yep.
There we go. I've had 2%. 2% is like water to me.
Yeah. Well, then skim will be like chalk.
Yeah. Skim is just like, it's tinted water.
Get your Cap'n Crunch. Prepare the roof of your mouth to be shredded and destroyed.
Oh, yes, for at least a week. Because you're going to have four bowls of it.
Yeah, you're going to eat the whole
box. You can't just have one bite. Why is that with Cap'n Crunch? You ever notice that?
Because it has a little bit of salty in there,
You can
too.
Have like a bowl of like, say, Life cereal, and you're like, I am satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, you get Cap'n Crunch, you get at least two bowls.
Yeah.
You have one, you're like, that was frick. You're bleeding, but you're still like, I need more.
Right, teeth are wiggly. You got wiggly teeth now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my gosh. Dude, I'm craving Cap'n Crunch right now.
Are you a pro Crunchberry or are you no Crunchberry?
I am pro Crunchberry. Yes. I am, I would say I'm a little on the fence with the, what was it? The peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
Yeah.
That was okay. Mm-hmm. But for me, man, I was all in for Crunchberries.
I'm with you 100%. Pro Crunchberry, Cap'n Crunch with Crunchberries. When they came out with that abomination, oops, all berries.
All berries, yeah.
I was like, now we've gone too far.
That's
right. We've gone too far.
That's right.
You know, it's like a birthday cake. Oops, all frosty.
Right. Oops, all frosty. I haven't had the oops, all berries. Have you?
I have once.
Have you?
I have. And I felt bad doing it.
I was going to say, you're like hiding in an alley.
It's like, I'm so bad. I ate it under a blanket.
I'm so sorry. And you ate the whole bowl.
I did.
Or the whole box.
I dumped milk in the box. I just opened the plastic and was like.
Oh my gosh.
With a ladle.
Was it good though?
Oh, it was amazing.
It had to have been good.
But I felt like there was no balance to be had at that point. I was like, there's no Cap'n Crunch in here. It's just berries.
Yeah, because if you have just the Cap'n Crunch, it's just the yellow stuff. It's actually pretty good.
The barrels, yeah.
You know, but then when you add the berries, I'm like, this is good.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you separate them off to the side. Exactly. So you have like the last bite with just some berries in
it. You ration the berries.
That's right.
Out.
You're rationing.
Yeah.
See, man.
Yeah.
Our childhood. This is why we're frugal today. Eddie.
Exactly.
It's all because of Cap'n Crunch berries.
Yeah. And then they come out with a box of all berries. And I'm like, why can't I have all berries?
Right. That's right.
I want them all.
That's right.
So get that cereal going.
That's right. Let's do this.
We're going to talk about the cartoon now. And in this cartoon, we wanted to talk about the first appearance of Clawful. There's a couple of other episodes that have a deeper dive into Clawful, but we wanted to get into the first
appearance. We always like first impressions.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this to me feels like they were like, hey man, we've had this toy out for a year and we haven't had this character in the cartoon yet. And Rio Blast is in the background with tears in his eyes. He's like, tell me, preach.
That's it. Preach, sister.
Preach, Procrustes. I'm sad. I'm never in a comic or in a cartoon. Yeah. So Clawful gets introduced into the cartoon, the Dree-El's Return.
Okay.
Dree-El's Return. And you would say, who's Dree-El if you don't know who she is? She is a trollin that Orko has a crush on, basically.
Nice.
And the whole thing is, you can't see her. She's got mascara. All you can see is like her mascara lidded eyelids.
Right.
Her blonde hair. And she's got like a pink scarf.
Yeah, she's got like the I Dream of Jeannie scarf over the face.
Very much so.
Yep.
And so it opens up on Trolla with Dree-El and her little kid brother, Yuckers.
Yuckers.
And we're going to talk about Yuckers here in a second.
All right.
Because I just can't with Yuckers right now.
Like, I just can't.
Yuckers deserves his own little like quick sidebar. But I will say this. The whole point, and it's pretty much delivered right out of the gate.
Okay.
When she's like, and Yuckers, none of your stupid, dumb jokes. And so right out of the gate, you're like, okay.
Oh, here we go.
This is 1983 or 84. He's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And of course, to just drive it home, because we're all stupid kids and it's all baby boomers writing this, they had to give Yuckers this like weird Jersey accent.
Oh, nice.
To drive home that he's a prankster. And he's like, whatever with my jokes. Hee, hee, hee. And I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go.
Because everybody from Jersey is a prankster.
That's basically what you're left with as a
kid.
That's
funny.
It's like, if you're from Jersey, you're a jerk who plays jokes that no one likes. So the cartoon.
No one likes.
So the cartoon, and no offense to our Jersey
that's
listeners,
right.
I'm telling you now, this is what the cartoon is telling
that's
us.
That's crazy.
So the cartoon opens up with that, And they're like, we have to. Oh, yeah. They're like, the Horn of Evil is stolen. And they're like, the Horn of Evil? Yeah, it's this thing. And you blow into the end of it and evil stuff comes out on the other side. It evil magic comes out. And so they have this artifact, which is basically like the end of a planet, and it got stolen. And so then Driel is like, we got to go to Eternia and tell them that it's been stolen, because that's where we think it's going to go. So they travel through this magical pyramid that allows them to... Dude, they just invent things.
This is so reminiscent of Avengers, though, if you think about it.
It is, kind of.
Could you imagine, instead of like having like a gauntlet, they actually have like a charm bracelet of all these things?
That would be amazing.
Like a horn.
That'd be amazing. This sounds a lot like Avengers, right.
It does.
So they transport themselves from Trolla to Eternia to tell the Eternian people, yo, the Horn of Evil is gone, and we think it's on the planet Eternia. Y'all are screwed. Get ready. So they cut to Eternia, and this is like, oh, I love, it's perfect.
Sure.
They're, I open on attack track, and I'm like, please attack track, please be sassy and jerkish. So right out of the gate, they roll up on this town, and they're like, man at arms is like, there's a meteor shower coming here right away. And there's like, good thing we got attack track to shoot all the meteors. And I'm like, there we go.
There it is.
And then right out of the gate, attack track is like, of course you need me. You would all be dead without me. Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, oh, attack track. So the meteor shower is coming down.
Okay.
And he's using his attack track cannons to shoot these meteors out of the sky.
Nice.
Just blowing target them up. Practice. Boom, 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 boom. So understand, he started this off by basically saying, y'all sit down and shut up. Let me do what I do,
which is
save your butts every
time.
It's
in my name. I'm here to attack things.
Exactly.
Stay on track.
I'm not supportive, nurturing track.
That's right.
I'm attack track.
I'm not an ISFJ.
Exactly. All right?
gets all Myers-Briggs.
He busts out his Myers-Briggs profile. Right. It just says here attack. That's not even one of the categories.
That's funny.
So he's shooting all the meteors out of the sky. But guess what? Oh, look. A mighty... What comes right after a mighty brag? A mighty fall. Attack tracks. One of his guns jam.
Of course.
Like, malfunction, malfunction.
Uh-oh.
And one giant meteor is coming. And He-Man's like, He-Man's got to do what a He-Man's got to do.
That's right.
Adam turns into He-Man right there, rolls up. The meteor, he doesn't stop the meteor. He ain't that fast. The meteor hits a part of the city and knocks a giant chunk of a building off.
Holy smokes.
He-Man, being the architectural disaster recovery expert that he is, catches a portion of the building and just pushes it back into place.
Nice. That's fine. Everybody fine. Go right back to your way of living. It's going to be perfectly fine.
Exactly. That building is now more structurally sound than
it
was.
It's like a bow when it breaks. You know, it's supposed to heal up stronger.
Exactly.
If He-Man pushes it back into place, it's even better.
Exactly. So then I'm like, oh, so now you need He-Man. And then this is the best part. They're riding back to the palace, and attack track, even though he technically has failed and caused a problem, attack track still works it in. You all know you need me. Ha, 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 ha.
Nice.
Like, I hate you so much. So we cut to the Trollins again. And Yuckers. Let's do a quick sidebar on Yuckers.
Okay, here we go.
Yuckers has a hand buzzer. And he's shaking, pleased to meet you. And he shakes people's hands and he shocks them. And he's laughing. And nobody thinks it's funny. They're all like, what a jerk. What a mean guy. Kidding. And so eventually, in my notes, I wrote down, somehow Yuckers is worse than Orko.
Can it be any worse than Trolla? That's
like,
so funny.
Whoever dreamt up Yuckers needs to be beaten. So we move forward to the episode, and the Horn of Evil is in fact stolen by the one and only Clawful.
Oh.
Clawful, who, like what you alluded to, is some sort of genius.
Right.
And he's just jerking Trapjaw around. And I'm like, man, Trapjaw, you got seniority in this organization. You should tell him to step down and shut up.
So you want to know the backstory of how Clawful got so smart?
Please.
So the backstory is basically he was a complete... you know, like a monster idiot, you know, from the sea.
Sure.
And so basically what it is, they cast a spell on him and to make him smarter, and also so he could speak.
Smart spell,
and,
yo.
Right, and it was such a strong spell that it ended up making him super intelligent.
So you went from a crab,
yes,
that eats doo-doo.
Exactly.
To a genius.
To a genius,
yeah. Well, he comes off that way. He comes off, like, he has a British accent, first of all.
Nice. Of course, anybody with a British accent. You guys know, everybody over in the UK and everything. You're way smarter than we are.
Just an island of geniuses.
That's really. Right. You talk like that, we already assume, us Americans, we already assume you're way smarter than
we'll take your financial advice right out of the gate. He's That's British.
Right. That's right.
He told me British. What to do. Yep. And so Clawful, who's British and has more reverb than Fisto, if that's possible.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He sounds like he's stuck in a well inside another well. It's the craziest thing.
That's so funny.
I'm like, his voice defies physics, but somehow he's able to talk.
We can't even understand you. Make him smarter.
Make him smarter. He's a genius who can't talk.
It's like, wobble, wobble. That had been crazy.
So he's jerking old poor Trapjaw around. They use the Horn of Evil to weaken the sorceress.
Okay.
Who, poor sorceress, just always just taking it in the face. Just pop, pop, you know, every time with the evil magic.
Yes.
So they weaken the sorceress, and then they go to, like, the forest to basically turn it into an evil forest.
Okay,
of course. When they stumble upon Orko, Driel, and our favorite, Yuckers.
Nice.
And so Yuckers is trying to play a prank with, like, this grabby claw in a weird turn of coincidence. And
trying to goose people? Or
well, he's, like, grabbing at him. And Orko's like, quit with your jokes. And then he, like, runs off. And then another claw comes out. And Orko's like, I can't believe you won't stop with these jokes. Turns out it's Clawful. And he just grabs a hold of Orko. And I'm like, that claw looks sharp, dude. I don't know how you didn't just lose your arm.
Right.
So they are captured. And then they end up capturing Yuckers, too, at one point in time. So Yuckers this whole time is, like, full of one-liners and won't shut up.
Sure.
Finally, He-Man rolls up, you know, they're like, oh man, you know, the Horn of Evil and the kids and Yuckers. He-Man shows up to kill Yuckers.
That's right.
Turns out, oh, I gotta stop Clawful. No. He-Man has a sword raised. No, not Yuckers. Clawful. Sorry. I thought sorry. That.
I just heard a couple things. I was just, never mind.
Exactly. Randor's in the back. Go, kill him.
I hate him. He buzzed my hand.
He-Man points two eyes at his own eyes and then points at Yuckers like a, see you, Yuckers.
Two more minutes. When this is over, you're dead.
Yuckers, more like Smuckers. You're going to be jam. I'm going to smear you
smear on my toast.
You're dead. Anyway, so He-Man rolls up and all this craziness is going on. And these guys haven't even blown into the Horn of Evil yet, right? They've only blown into it one time and that weakened the sorceress. So they're like sitting here like, man, we got this ultimate weapon. We have a magical nuke on our hands.
Sure.
Let's use this. They get stopped, right? And then now the Horn of Evil is missing. They're like, where's the Horn of Evil? Oh, my gosh. So now in this fracas, in this foray, Clawful, of all people, grabs He-Man and is holding him with his arms pinned at his side with his two equally sized claws, holding He-Man's arms, like, pinned him and has him kind of halfway lifted up. And He-Man's like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, because he's pretty strong.
And I'm like, how is Clawful...
Yeah.
Holding your arms. And he's a genius?
Right.
That's not fair. So then they're like, well, and what, like we said, you know, we said it's the masters of the universe. These are all masters.
Sure.
So he's still pretty strong.
Sure.
Well, then He-Man somehow wriggles free. And you see him cock back with his fist right squared up with Clawful. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to punch Clawful. We're going to see him hit somebody.
Nice.
And I even timed it. It's 13 minutes and 3 seconds into the episode. If you go to the episode on YouTube, 13 minutes and 3 seconds in, you too can behold the magic of seeing a scene that we thought we'd never see. And in a weird way, you don't see it because all you see is He-Man pull his fist back and then the camera cuts to like a scene of the horizon.
Okay.
And you hear a punch sound.
Okay.
And you see Clawful fly away. Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
But you know full well what He-Man did.
He-Man actually clocked somebody.
Yeah. In my entire life of watching He-Man, I've never seen him or even alluded to him hitting anybody.
No. That's crazy.
He cleans his clock.
I need to pause and reflect for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I know.
Everything I know is a lie.
I will show you this. Yeah. He-Man juices Clawful with a punch.
See, this is all you need. You need some Jersey to come up and stir you up enough.
Just make you just mad enough. Hey, He-Man! Remember the time I put jalapenos on your toilet paper?
That's right. I can't touch you, but I can touch you.
And he flies dead. Backwards.
Wow.
So the villains are, oh yeah, and then Trapjaw gets like tangled up in ropes by the Trollins. So the bad guys are dispatched.
I'm sorry, that just of course.
Exactly. Poor Trapjaw. Oh, and Trapjaw at one point in the episode, before he gets trapped, is like, now's my time to try out my new fly swatter attachment. Nice. And he has a giant fly swatter.
Just waving his armor around.
Like,
here, I got this 90-pound mechanism to put on that I'm just going to wave around.
Click. Yeah, exactly.
Kill some flies.
Is it electrified at least? No. Why would I do that?
Ooh, good idea. I should have thought of that.
I should have thought that through.
Man at arms, can you help a guy out? Help a dude?
I'll give it a heart. I'll give that fly swatter a heart.
How about a face of a demon?
A face. The minute it gets a face, it's just yelling at him. You never do anything right. You suck. Ow!
Just slapping flies like, we need more flies so I can smash this thing.
So He-Man punches Clawful in the face meat and sends him flying into a vat of lemon butter.
Man.
And it's all happy, you think? And then they're like, where's the Horn of Evil? And Orko's like, it's under Yucker's hat. I'm a magician. And Yucker's pulls it out and he's like, oh, snap, you're so good. Then Yucker's is like, I'm going to blow it. And they're like, don't. And he's like, ha-ha. I'm just kidding. I'm from Jersey. I'm Yuckers.
I'm like, of course.
Exactly.
Oh my
if he
gosh.
Says his baby's made in Japan, I'm going to freak out.
This baby's made in Japan. Oh my gosh. Forever now, that dude in the pawn shop is Yuckers.
He's Yuckers.
Me.
Yes, we'll call him Yuckers.
He's Yuckers.
Just call me Yuckers. Not fit to.
That's funny.
So no, you think the episode's over. But I'm looking at the timer. I'm like, we're only about 15 minutes into a 22-minute episode.
Right.
There's still some more. Oh, no! Yuckers has this giant bag of pepper that he carries around.
Of course.
That he calls his sneezing powder.
Of course.
And it's like, oh, here we go, Yuckers and your cocaine. He drops the sneezing powder while holding the Horn of Evil and sneezes. Blows into the Horn of Evil. And that sucker is puking up. Demons.
Oh, man.
It's all manner of unholy things are coming out of this horn. It turns the trees evil.
Holy smokes.
The trees start slap fighting each other, which is weird.
You've always been too close to me.
I hate you. And then like a peaceful looking Eternian cat is turned into some like snarling werewolf thing.
Holy smokes.
And it starts fighting Battle Cat and Battle Cat's fighting for his life.
Holy smokes.
And then like some like single unihorned Cyclops just comes sprinting. Dude, comes sprinting out of the horn straight at He-Man. Like he's hated him his whole life. And then just like does this flying body blow and just lands on He-Man flat.
He's super flat Jimmy Snookas.
Exactly. Exactly. Like he doesn't even like question like, why am I here? I just got rendered into existence.
That guy with that haircut needs to die.
Exactly. He was just, he just came out full sprinting.
Holy crap.
Boosh. And then what else? There was like a bird that got turned into this like werewolf.
So you know what's funny about it? It's like things turned from something good into something evil.
Yes.
So you know what that was. He was like some mushroom or something like that in the forest. And,
exactly.
And like He-Man had to go relieve himself. And then so that turned into a big huge monster. It's like, you did unspeakable things to me.
You pooped right on me. That's what it was. He was a tiny little mushroom that He-Man. I'll kill you. And so the Horn of Evil is just puking up. Well, evil.
This is like straight up Ghostbusters at this point.
Basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so all hell is breaking loose on Eternia.
Where's Ray Parker Jr.?
Where is anybody? Exactly. He's like, the music was hot. Music came easy. Well, speaking of the music coming easy, the sorceress in her weakened state manages to somehow get a hold of Orko telepathically.
Okay.
And tells him, Orko, the music to stop the Horn of Evil is on the Horn of Evil. And she passes back out.
Nice.
And Orko's like, what do you mean? On the horn is a little roll of paper. You unroll it and it's a song that you sing to make
to
all the evil
back.
Go back.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, of course. That makes sense. Right, if you have an evil cursed object, right printed on it is going to be the way to undo
sure
all the stuff. And so they're trying to sing the song, but the horn's too loud, Jeff. So the magic can't work because there's too much evil, loud evil,
okay,
coming out of the horn. And I'm thinking this is like 80s, like parents, like this is like heavy metal.
Turn it down in there.
And this is, they're like, this is the heavy metal, and this is the good music that fights heavy metal.
We just need some Beatles in here, and everything will be fine.
I like that Yuckas kid. I want to see him in more shows.
So
he speaks for me.
He really speaks to my sensibilities. That's right. Shake my hand. I don't have a hand buzzer. I just touched my butt, and it smells bad.
So then He-Man's like, I know what I'll do. He picks up the horn on the business end. It's like pointing a shotgun at your face. Nice. Like, and he just starts blowing into it
okay,
to push the evil back in.
Wow.
And then he basically silences the horn enough to get them to be able to sing. Oh. And they sing the song that causes all the evil to go away.
So that's just like at my dinner table. Get the kids to shut up loud enough and then... You know, then we sing a song and everybody goes to bed.
Exactly. So if you learn anything in this cartoon, it's that He-Man will punch a bad guy if the camera's not watching.
That's right. Be careful where you're dropping trash doing your business because it might turn into a freaking cyclops with a horn to come kill you.
That blade of grass that you pooped on is going to become a giant monster and have a plan to kill you. And if you have a friend named Yuckers... Shoot him in the head.
Just get it over with. Just get it over with.
Just kidding. Don't shoot anybody.
We're just saying. Yeah. Unless if you're He-Man. You have a blaster.
Exactly.
Then just, that's fine.
But this cartoon, Driel's Return, is amazing.
Dude.
Oh, one of my notes here, because I wrote down, He-Man punches Clawful in all caps. My very next note, how is Clawful not dead?
That's right. Oh, my God! Because
I think he gets up and he's like, oh, my head.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. Driel's Return. I guarantee you, you're going to watch that episode and you're going to have some new life.
Dude, that's a legit episode.
It's amazing.
Heck yeah, man.
But so, and that is the premiere of Clawful. And I have read and heard that there's deeper dives into his character. But that is the first appearance where he's basically jerking poor Trapjaw around like a chump. And then he just gets a... five-finger death punch from He-Man across his mouth, his jaw.
But no Skeletor.
No Skeletor whatsoever.
So Clawful was the main
villain. Main focus of that episode.
Interesting.
That and Yuckers.
Of course. Yuckers was the main villain. That's funny.
The thing that I liked about the end of the episode was that they had to dial in on this Yuckers thing.
Yeah.
And Yuckers was still pranking people. And then Orko pranked him. And Yuckers didn't like that very much.
So was this like the PSA part?
It wasn't, which is the weird part. I thought they were going to be like, But in the episode, they were like, Yuckers was like, I think it's funny when I do it to people, but it's not funny when it happens to me.
Oh,
and they were like, That's right. And I'm like, see, this is where the writers already messed up. Because most people who I know who are jokesters love it when they get pranked.
Exactly. Yeah, they love it. Yeah. It's like, finally.
They love to give it, but they take it, too.
Do unto others.
And so it's like, you don't know real comedians.
That was like such an 80s thing all the time. Like, there's like Who's the Boss episodes and everything about that. You know, like it was such an 80s thing.
Like the practical jokes.
Correct. Yeah. Like, oh, don't do practical jokes. You're a jerk, you know? And then nobody likes that. And like, you're right. I'm sorry. I was a jerk.
Yeah. It's always like they only see it and go, like, yeah, but if you did it to you, you wouldn't like it.
I guess it wasn't fun.
Unless they do like it. And then you're like, oh, no, my lesson just blew up my face.
That's right. You're
like, Dad, you got me. That was hilarious.
That was awesome.
Which is what happens in real life.
Totally.
By the way.
Oh, all
depending
all the time.
On the prank. But like, you look at actual friends who prank each other, for the most part, they're laughing their heads off.
Oh, totally.
So, whatever. Once again.
Whatever. Either way.
It's almost like the entire generation of baby boomers were out of touch. Weird.
Weird.
Strange.
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thought that they wouldn't know what's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I can't recommend that episode enough. It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
And I guess with that one, we might want to put a pin in this sucker.
Yeah.
I guess we want to thank everyone for listening to us and let us know what you think. We got this mega multiverse thing that you're going to see every so often. We're going to still stick to the He-Man format as much as we feel like we want to, but every so often we're going to throw in a multiverse.
Right. I was also thinking another thing too is we do get a number of folks that write us and they tell us what the show means to them and stuff like that. And first off, that's amazing. Thank you for writing this. It always like makes our heart flutter every time we get stuff like that. So that's great. So please keep writing us and letting us know that. That's great. But also I was thinking it would be kind of a cool segment and stuff. If anybody else out there wants to do this, they could write us and ask us any sort of questions and stuff, you know, like, have you guys thought about this or whatever, you know, we could have a little segment and stuff that, you know, like fan writings or something.
That's a great idea. I'll actually add another layer to that. You know what you should do? Y'all got cell phones. Record your question and send it to us, and we'll put it on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
And that way people can hear what you asked in your words, and then we can answer the question.
That's a great idea. Yeah, so type it or record it and send your question over, and we'd be more than happy to have a little segment on here that's like... We'll come up with an actual name. Listener mail or something like that.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something. We'll figure something out.
We'll be like letters from Zoar.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Letters from Zoar. Letters from Screech, depending on the content.
That's right. True.
The content of the question.
That's true.
You guys suck.
We'll come up with something punny.
Ooh.
Because that's what we do.
Well, we can. Yeah. It's a team, man. We have to. And once again, speaking of punny, I got to give them A+ for the pun name of Clawful.
Yes, that was pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good. It at least works on two levels, if not almost three.
Well, because you know what his real name is, right?
What is it?
It's...
Oh, yeah, it's a series of clicks.
Series of clicks.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, it's like when they said squeeze.
That's right, squeeze, and they spell it way out. Like, there's not already enough E's in there.
I was corrected by somebody when I was like, King Hiss, and they were like, I was like, King H-I-double-S.
No I.
No I.
Yeah, it's just H-S-S-S-S.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, good luck saying that without the I sound.
Exactly. That's right. You sound like Grandpa Joe over there in the corner with the cigars all the time.
You sound like my grandfather trying to poop. Somebody get me the horn of evil. I need the horn of evil so I can poop. The poop turns into something good.
He's talking about prune juice. It's...
Oh, and in the episode, and we're just totally going cattywampus, that's but fine. Before we sign off, in that cartoon episode, there's this black mist that comes out. It looks almost like gnats and doo-doo. It's like, it's evil looking. And this black mist goes over this rock, and the rock turns into this most turd-looking thing you've ever seen with a face, and it's like, and it doesn't even do anything. It's like, maybe he's okay, He-Man, and He-Man, like, kills him. Ah,
oh my
evil.
Gosh, it's hilarious.
Anyway,
turns into like the big like Chet from Weird Science.
Exactly. It was like, hey, you guys, I'm actually pretty good. Kill it, it's ugly.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but I have to go watch the episode now.
It's perfect. Yep. But with all that, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We have some cool things up our sleeves. Go to our Facebook page. We have some more video content going up there pretty soon. New mega treats.
Lots more.
Lots more coming too. So we have a lot of cool things planned for 2020. And until next time.
Good journey.